Cześć! Słuchasz jadeitowego podcastu. Rozmów o ludziach, kulturze i sztuce Dalekiego Wschodu.
Witam wszystkich bardzo serdecznie w 9. odcinku jadeitowego podcastu. This is the second interview of the Jade Podcast mini-series in which I talk with the Ukrainians about their everyday life in the Far East countries. And my today's guest is Eugenia Tokuda, and she's an Ukrainian. She was born in Kryvyi Rih. I'm not sure whether I pronounced it good because I don't speak Ukrainian, so you can correct me if you want to. And she came to Japan in 2009 to continue to study the Japanese language. But in the end, she settled down there, and that's it. That's why we are together today. And hello, Eugenia. Thank you that you decided to record this episode with me.
Hello. Thank you for invitation. I think it is really important to now to spread the information, the right information, maybe some news. So thank you too.
Okay. So maybe we will start about your living in Japan. I really want to know, how did it happen that you live in Japan? Because you wanted to continue your studies, probably, but you settled down there as well. And maybe you can also share what particular city or district you live in.
Okay, now I am living in Nara Prefecture, and not that big town named Ikoma, near the Osaka, so the big mount. It separates the city Ikoma and Osaka city, the big city Osaka.
And you live there with your family, isn't it?
Yes, actually I came here with my friend. She is my friend from the university. So actually we were studying Japanese language in Kyiv National University, named by Taras Shevchenko. We liked the culture of Japan, and we wanted to continue to study Japanese more. It was evening after we finished our Aikido training. We did some Aikido too. We was like speaking, maybe we should go to Japan after we finish here university. Simple words, and we didn't think about that deep. But then we just spoke with our parents and they said yes. And we started to do preparations. And then we just came here. At first, we were thinking that it would be only 4 years, because we came here again to study from the first year student till the end, 4 years. But then we understood that it's not bad here. If we came here, why should we return at once? Maybe we should try to work here, try to live here. That's why like we stayed. And then I met my husband and got married and got a child. Now she is 3 years old. My child's name, it's a girl, Emma. So yeah, now I live here, and I'm planning to continue, yes, live here.
So I think that you mostly speak Japanese at home, isn't it? Or you maybe teach Ukrainian a bit?
Yes, I speak, of course, everyday life, it's a Japanese, but with my daughter. Anyway, I want her to understand Russian language. I'm Ukrainian, but you know, this is kind of now maybe this language is problems, but never people spoke by Russian in Ukraine, never seen like they are not Ukrainians. I don't know, it was okay. So, and I always speak Russian, and even now when this awful war began, I continue to speak Russian, and I want my daughter to know how to speak Russian, because anyway I plan to come to Ukraine one day with her, and even if she go some when they're alone, so she have to know the language, and especially I want she speak freely Russian with my mother, with her grandma. With her I speak Russian, and with my husband, of course, Japanese.
Okay, so you knew Japanese a bit before you you came to Japan, but what was the biggest change for you, a kind of culture shock after your arrival? Because our, let's say, Slavic culture differs significantly from that of East Asia. So what was the challenging for you?
Now it's kind of difficult to remember what was the, because it was 13 years ago, but I remember that it was April, 1st of April I came here, and it was kind of cold. First, it's the weather. It was kind of difficult to use because there is no central heating in Japan. So everyone, I don't know, used the air condition or some other heaters. And that is first. And second, the school uniform of children's school uniform, because no matter it's summer or winter, they are wearing the same school uniform, short skirts without any stockings. And it's just, I don't know, jumper, and it's all. And all adults, they are wearing down jackets, but children, just school uniform. That still, for me, it's, I don't know, I cannot admit it even now. I think maybe.
Okay, and what amazed you about Japan, which makes you still live there? Because I do believe that there are so many positive aspects.
Yes, there are, and it's comfortable to live here, and it's a good service. Actually, last year's service in Ukraine became much, much, much better, as I heard, as I saw when I was coming back several times there. But still, I think it is like everyone knows that Japanese service, like, kind of even maybe best, the best in the world. So it's kind of comfortable, and it's not that easy. I used to it, and you are protected by a country, so it's important part too. Yeah,
for sure. So how is your life in Japan today? Because we spoke something about the past, but how does it look like today? How is your daily schedule, some duties or moments just for yourself? How does it look like?
I'm working every day, working in the office, so it's kind of usual life as everyone. So working, my daughter, she's going to a kindergarten, my husband is also working, so yes.
Did you have any problems with finding job, or maybe that you knew the language was the advantage and it was easier for you?
Of course, knowing language is, I think, thing number first, because without knowing language, you cannot conversation. So it is important, because Japanese, they don't know English. It's really a kind of problem for them. They learn English from junior school, then maybe someone from middle school, but still a lot of them, they don't speak. Even my husband, he understands something, but he cannot speak. And that's why if you go to Japanese company, you have to speak Japanese.
Yeah, I heard that even in Tokyo, so in the capital, it's still sometimes difficult to communicate using just English. Okay. And moving on to the war. So how did Japan react to the war in Ukraine? I mean, media messages, but also ordinary people, their posts on social media, involvement in it for Ukraine.
Social media, the news, they react at once. They spread the news. Maybe first days there was not that much information, I mean, in details, but later they spread really. And there is a kind of specific about Japanese media. They like to speak about every detail, so they can gather different science, different professors, and they speak about it like by hours. So media, it's kind of working good. As for the ordinary people, I don't have that much Japanese, for example, in my social like Instagram or Facebook. But if you like search in internet, like about Ukraine, something, there are a lot of people who write about Ukraine, about this awful war, and they are against of the Russia. But personally, the people, the Japanese people whom I know, who knows me, almost no them wrote me, how are you? Or how is your family? It's not because they don't care. I understand this. Even at my work, only maybe 3 or 4 colleagues asked me how am I? Is my family fine? And others just said nothing, and still they don't even ask me speak about it, because they kind of, it is Japanese, they maybe pay too much attention. They kind of consider what will I, how will I react, maybe. That's why they don't ask. Some of my friends wrote me after a week, after 2 weeks, and they wrote me kind of, I'm sorry writing just now. I see news every day about Ukraine, and every time I remember you, and I was just afraid to ask you, how is your family?
Yeah, I think it's typical for the Japanese. And I also heard that even the language is usually really polite. So they show that they don't want to offend you, and they really had to consider if they can write to you and ask.
Yes, okay. Yes. So in Japanese, like, are you okay? It's like, daijoubu? So it's like on English, you know, are you okay? They are asking, even when you hurt, even when you are bleeding, I don't know, are you okay? So for them, it's like, daijoubu, but no, I'm not okay. That is the answer, and they know the answer. That's why I think they don't ask, but don't mean that they don't care. One of the big surprises for me was that 73 years old lady. I know her because she was helping with my child in the kindergarten. And one day she called me, 2 days after the war start, and she called me and she said that we are going to gather with some friends near the station Ikoma against the war. And if you want, you can take part in. And I said, okay. And then I spread some news in Facebook and blah, blah. And some Ukrainians came. So first she said it's gonna be maybe 5 people, but then it came a lot of Japanese, and that was like surprising for me. And they do care, and I am sure they are even helping, sending the money to Ukraine, to the Ukrainian embassy in Japan, but they maybe don't speak about it.
Okay, I saw a lot of posts on your Instagram, but I don't know Japanese, but I saw that you really engage in the situation. And how do the Japanese engage in helping Ukraine? Because you mentioned those manifestation, something like this. But what are other ways to help that you know Japanese are doing?
Yes, a lot of them, they are helping. They come into this demo. They are taking part in. They, of course, sending some money to Ukraine for help. I think to be here in Japan, the only way, like, it doesn't matter. It's like me, Ukrainian, or it's a simple, I don't know, Japanese person. to be here, we are so far. So the one thing that we can do is really help by sending some money or spreading the right information. That is all that we can do, I think. And a lot of Japanese, I'm sure they do the same.
Okay, and what would you like to wish Ukrainians living in Japan or those who are still in Ukraine?
For people who live here in Japan, Ukrainians, it's like to be and to stay strong mind, because even for me, it's kind of, you know, like a wave when I'm okay. And another day, I just cannot stop crying. And so it is difficult to be normal. So our life never be again normal like it was. So the way, I think the one way is to be strong, mind strong, and to help people who maybe come to Japan in the near future. Many, of course, Ukrainians, they don't know language, so our duty is to help here as much as we can. Maybe even here in Nara prefecture, they want to make volunteer group where with people who can speak Russian or Ukrainian. So for Ukrainians who will come here. So, but for people who in Ukraine, I even don't know what can I wish, because I just wish they be alive and be healthy. That's all, because to say that be strong, we win. Yes, we win, but it's difficult just be here and saying them such things when they are hiding in the bomb shelters and they cannot drink, and so I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I think you are strong already. You wanted to share those things with me, and I know that it's difficult because you are so far away, and even me, I'm closer to the situation, but I think that even such talks are a kind of contribution to the situation, to improve it, to spread the information, because I can see that you do it really actively, that you really want to share. So that's already an advantage, yeah.
I know. And sometimes I'm tired, mentally I'm tired, and I don't want to open any news. I don't want to do any post in Instagram because I'm tired. But then I say, how can you say this? How can you say that you are tired? Because people who don't sleep at all, people who just afraid that in 1 hour they can be dead, those people are tired, not me who sleep in here eating, have a warm clothes and etc. So yes, but really even now still to be here, it's difficult, because of course every day I contact my mom. She's in Odessa. First days she was even more positively speaking with me than me. I was crying here sitting, and she was saying me with a smile, just chill off, it's fine, it's gonna be okay. But now of course a lot of Ukrainians, they are tired, and even now I see a mom's smile, but I still see some worry in her eyes. Yes, it's really difficult for us, for all of us, to be strong, but we have to be strong even for our children here. They still wanna spend time with us. But when my Emma, she seen me when I spend time in Instagram, she says, I wanna watch TV with mommy. I wanna do this with mommy. The simple things that she did alone, but now she wanna do it with me. Yeah, she's lack of my, how to say it, time.
Yeah, so she's probably really helpful for you, yeah? Kind of a therapy maybe. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing this. I know it's a bit emotional. Even me, I also cry. I can't sometimes I have such days that I just want to turn off the TV, don't read any news. Yeah. But I think we also deserve a rest sometimes, and that you are, of course, you are allowed to feel worse a bit sometimes, and that you can fear about your family, because that's normal. So I wish you and your family, your daughter, your husband, all the best, and your family that stays in Ukraine as well, that the war will end soon, and that you will be able to meet them personally, and that your yeah. daughter will also be able to see the free Ukraine. And I will pray for it, and I'm really thankful that you wanted to share this story with me.
To był jadeitowy podcast. Do usłyszenia wkrótce.